purpose and your pattern and the power behind everything. And a lot of the admonition he gave him, some that I give after the service, and making sure it stays with it. So I want to sort of continue all around, along that vein here this morning and try and be help to all of us in our walk with God and staying true to it and how to develop a plan to go about it. Philippians chapter 3, let me start in verse number 12. He says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What desire, what God has showed you, what He's put in your life, follow it. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love You. And Lord, I ask Your blessing now upon this time. Please, Lord, control what I say and how I say it. I pray that it would be clear, that I would use words with precision that Your Spirit would be able to use. So please guide in this and use this to draw us closer to You and to meet the needs that are here. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that perhaps even this morning they repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I love You and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So in the previous verses leading up to this, you have that great verse, for instance, verses 9 and 10, I should say, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So salvation, justification, what takes place when we're saved? And he says the whole goal of that is verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. So he's saying this is the whole golden life. It is Christ. It is about Him. He said it in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So often our plan is not that we don't, our problem is not that we don't see that or desire that, which he's going to reveal. There are some who don't. There are some sitting in the pews here, just like in the pews at the church at Philippi. They actually don't desire that. They don't. But there are plenty who do, but many times our problem is how to obtain that. The desire's there. Again, many times it's not a problem of a lack of desire or the will, but we don't have a proper plan. Think in the parable that Christ talked about in the Gospel of Luke of the man building the tower, but he failed. The reason why he failed had everything to do with his planning. It wasn't that he lacked the intent or desire to get a tower up. He didn't plan correctly. He did not count the cost when he entered into it. So we know that our goal is Christ. But a lot of times we lack, you know, almost a clear, definitive measure of how we go about that. Or for some, even to what extent does that mean? And really, that's the easy portion. It simply means if we just could even step back from our own life and look at all that God has done for us. From the creation of the universe, when he started in the Garden of Eden, to everything he had to do to redeem mankind, that here is the Creator, the one with so much power, he just spoke it and this universe came into existence. He created us as the only thing of all of creation in his image to fellowship with him, to glorify him, but we sinned against him, we are separated, and this holy and just God, obviously, through his Son, Jesus Christ, God becoming a man, provided a means of redemption, a means of reconciliation back to God. All right? And so when you're able to step back and look at that, you can then begin to see that life is not about you. That it's about the Creator. That it actually is about Christ, where he is the goal. That doesn't mean you just sit at home praying all day, saying, praise God, praise God. That's not what that means at all. He's given you a life to live. But the purpose behind it isn't how much you have in retirement. It isn't the house. It isn't the boat. It isn't any of those. The purpose is, how can I actually glorify the Creator with my life? For instance, if you're married, you can glorify God by loving your wife the way that you should. You can glorify God by loving your husband the way that you should. If you're a child, you can glorify God by seeing in his word that he wants you to honor and obey your parents. If you had to work, he wants you to be ethical and right. He wants you to be an ambassador for Christ with the message that we carry. There's ways in which you go about your day when you set out your day from the very beginning to say, all right, how can I glorify God this day? How can I make my life about Christ? Paul, when he goes in from stating the goal there, that I may know him, he shows you how to go about it. How to develop that plan. And so that's what I want to encourage all of us with, and including the teenagers this week. You made some good decisions. It really was a tremendous teen camp this week. I mean, there's times I was literally going back to my camper in tears at seeing what God was doing in the lives of some of the young people. And even what we're hearing since it concluded. So I want to be helping how to continue this. Now, the first thing I want to bring to your attention, I'm going to bring several things to your attention this morning. Verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let me start right there first. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. Wasn't too long ago that I was, just a couple of months ago, actually, I was preaching a message, and I did focus on one aspect of the message was a similar principle. The Apostle Paul said, I'm pressing forward, I'm going on, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And I believe in context for the Apostle Paul, there's a lot here that this could entail what he means by this. But I believe a significant portion is all the success he had up until this point in time. Of all that he's been through, of all that he's seen God do, he still wants to press forward and not just sit back and think upon all the success he had already done in the Lord and think, that is enough, I'm in prison, because he's in prison when he's writing this, possibly facing execution. Say, you know what, I'm done. No, he's still going to press forward. He's not going to quit. Don't allow past success to make you think you have arrived. As you can tell, that's the wording that he's driving at here. I haven't apprehended. I'm striving toward that of that which has apprehended me, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not there. And I'm going to keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. You press forward. Many can reach a plateau in their life because of what they have accomplished. Don't concentrate on what you have done. Concentrate on what still needs to be done. And there certainly are things that we can apply this verse in many ways to forget that will hinder us from going forward, that will hinder us from growing. So, those who made maybe decisions this week, you want to know how to move forward, how to make your life about Christ. All right, it's time to forget those things which are behind. Quit letting them hold you back. Don't come up with the excuses why you can't follow the Lord. Figure out how you can follow the Lord. Don't allow the past to control that. That decision is up to you as a person. You don't have to live in that past. You don't have to live with the thoughts of those sins. You don't have to live as a victim. You don't. That's the way this culture is just crippling young people right now. Don't allow that past to define you. I mean, that's true for success, because past success can create a measure of pride. And by the way, once pride comes in, the Lord's done. I'm telling you, you see it throughout the Word of God. He's done. That has to be repented of. Don't allow past failures to keep your faith from advancing. I mean, Peter is a great example of this. Right behind Paul, of course, I love Peter, because here's the guy that gets out of the boat. Still love that. I love preaching that, because the guy actually got out of the boat. But he didn't focus the rest of his life on the fact that he sank. He didn't. Nor did he focus his life on the fact that he denied the Lord. Think of how painful that was for him in that moment. Think how painful it was where he could have just allowed thoughts to control him. Listen, I've denied him. I'm not worthy. It's done. It's over. I'm just going to sit over here. I'm going to let James run the show. John, you take it from here. I denied him. He looked right at him. He didn't do that. There are things you have to understand, how great and how wonderful God's mercy and His forgiveness is. And when you have that repentance and that forgiveness in place, you forget those things that are behind. That's what you do. And the truth is, how we respond to past failure is certainly a key to our success in life. We have, in our culture today, they like to almost condemn certain emotions that are God-given. Emotions such as guilt and shame. Those are God-given emotions and serve a tremendous purpose. However, like any emotion, your own flesh and the devil can use them against you. Once forgiveness and repentance is in place, once that is there, no longer allow the guilt and shame to control. It is there when the sin is present to try and change you and direct you. I mean, if we don't have guilt, I mean, we see what's happening as a culture does go reprobate. Part of reprobation is basically guilt and shame are removed. And you can see how vile and how wicked a culture can come. But within your own life, once you know that that repentance and forgiveness is there, that's where you still seek the Lord to not allow the guilt and shame to control you. And that is, and listen, we sing the song, and it's not rocket science. We think it is. We think it's so far away from us, but it's not. It is right there. We think, I can't attain to that. You can. It's sitting right there to actually truly focus on Christ, to get your mind off of those circumstances, to realize all that you have in God, to get into Psalm 103 and forget not all His benefits. See what He has done. Another thing you have to forget many times, which can be very difficult, is losses. We experience loss in different ways. And there are times that losses can be crippling. It can lead to all kinds of problems, depending on the measure of the loss and what type of loss that we're dealing with. It can lead to a measure of discontentment that just stays permanent in your life. It can lead to anger. It can lead to bitterness. There's times you have to forget those things which are behind if you truly want to glorify and honor God and press forward. Teens, you made some good decisions. Press forward. Forgetting those things which are behind. Number two, he said here, reaching forth in the present. Look at this. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Great statement. Great statement right now. He knew God still had opportunities before him, even though he's sitting in prison, in a Roman prison. He said, I will serve. I will look for those ways to serve. He's writing this letter from a prison. He had opportunity. He saw, how could I serve? This is it. I'm going to write some letters right now, which is why we have the prison epistles. He just didn't sit back. He says, I know what I have before me. This is what I can do, and this is what I will do. He wasn't on the circuit anymore. That wasn't what he was doing. He might even be executed. But what he could do, he did. Reaching forth in the present. Sometimes we don't grow as we should because we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God puts before us. Again, that's true of all of us. And teens, look for ways to serve. I don't care how small it is. Find it and serve. Get in the choir. Help your Sunday school teacher. I remember the first way when I was deciding I really wanted to serve. I didn't know. I had no clue what I could do. I just went to the pastor and said, I want to do something. He called my Sunday school teacher over and gave, they had a Sunday school book back then. You mark your Bible, your memory verse, all that stuff. I don't know if anybody remembers that. It's really common. And so I was given the Sunday school book to be able to mark that. Man, I was thrilled. Thrilled. And then the same day, that was the day I left, and I saw the track rack and grabbed a bunch of those things right there. What opportunities God has before you, take them. And be faithful with it. Be faithful. Because to you, what this is, it's not about the church. It's not about your family. It's not about your spouse. It's about you saying, you know what I want to do with my life. He is the goal. This is how I can honor Him. Then do it. Stay faithful at it. Be that witness. Stay faithful to the house of God, praying for God's work. Be a strong testimony. Be a strong ambassador for the cause of Christ. These are always things that all of us can do now to stay active in serving God. Reach forth unto what God has put before you. If He hasn't put something before you, then stop looking at it. Serve the Lord faithfully with what is before you. I need to move on. Look at verse 14. He said this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Interesting verse. This is part of the plan. Forgetting those things which are behind, look for the opportunities that God has right before you. And don't delay in them. Don't say, no, I'll get to it next week. I'll get to it next, Monday. That's never going to take place. And then, as he comes to this, he goes back to the metaphor of a sports metaphor here in relation to the Christian life. Looking at it as a race that God has put before us, pressing toward the mark. And here he's looking at his life as a whole, perhaps even thinking of his execution that could be right around the corner. But he's saying, you're in this race to win it. You're in this race. Really what he means here is until the finish line. Until you are in the presence of the Lord. We'll see that as he finishes up this chapter. But we need to enter this as a runner, diligently approaching his race, striving at this so as to finish strong. In other words, it's saying this, when you find those things, when you're wanting to serve God, keep your heart in it. Don't let it become drudgery. Something's wrong right there. You need to reevaluate at that moment. Something's horribly wrong. Now that happens to all of us. We all have to do that. That takes place. But we have to. That's when you got to step back and go before the Lord. Lord, where's my heart? Please give me the want to want. Give me the want to want to pray. Give me the want to read. Lord, you put this ministry before me. Give me the want to want. So, when discouragement comes, you stay focused on the race and you press on. You don't quit. Press on. So, in light of this aspect of our plan, ask yourself this question. How are you actually living the Christian life? How would you describe it? Would the passion be there? Is this the part that's missing? Listen, I have forgotten those things which are behind, or maybe that's holding up, or maybe you have reached forth into those things which are present, but you're just in this muck right now, if you will. There's no desire and no passion. Get your mind focused back on Christ. It's not about ministry. It's not about any of those things. It's about God. We see too often today that many see the Christian life somehow as a burden.
It's the greatest life to live.
Oh, but if I really follow him, he's going to change my life and that's going to affect. What's wrong with it? Do you not want him to change your life? Isn't that not the purpose? Let's go on. 15 through 18. This is a huge help. All right, you made the decision. Christ is the goal. This is what I want. I got to forget those things which Brian. I'm not going to let that past control me. I am going to reach for what God puts before me. Lord, I'll stay faithful. Lord, I'll do it. I'll stay faithful. Lord, I'm going to do it with my heart. Now, to help along this way, look where he goes. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, it doesn't mean without sin. I'll get to that. Be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. This is where he's referencing here in verse 15. It's an important point. This is where he's saying he's going to come into it, where driving into the fact that there are some who really have no desire for any of this. None. In the pews, no desire for it. They don't care about forgetting those things which are behind, anything here. Here for different reasons. Whether it's just culture to be here, whether it's family to be here, whether it's friends to be here, whatever it might be. But it's not the goal of God. Okay? But let me read on. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. So he's saying, listen, there's examples here that are right, that you see are striving, that are pursuing, who have forgotten those things which are behind, who are pressing forward, that you see the desire there. He's saying, listen, these are your examples. We all need that. We need to encourage each other, to feed off each other, not going towards the world, but going towards Christ. We need it. It's what's going to help us, you know, the times that you are feeling discouraged. We're all flesh. This morning, I got a text from a guy in ministry. He had actually texted about 3 a.m. And in ministry and serving and just completely discouraged. It happens to all of us. It can take place. And I'm glad he reached out, because you know what? We need each other. We need those examples. And I'm telling you, if you have examples where they are the ones where their desire isn't Lord, it isn't the passion of God, you're going to get around somebody who's just going to make you nominal, carnal, and everything else. Look for somebody who has a passion for God. This is the direction you want to go. Listen, as pastor, one day I'll give an account. You will stand before the Lord. You're going to see the creator of the universe who died for you. I don't want you standing there saying, I wish I'd given him more. Why did I do nothing? It deals with the importance of unity in those verses, of striving together for this goal of knowing Christ. And it will be clear, by the way. The Lord does that himself. He will reveal it. I believe many times, it's not necessarily before all of us, although I believe it can be clear before us, revealed to us. But I believe what he's driving at here, it's revealed to those who don't have the desire. He puts it in your heart. In other words, even as you hear it preached, you know the Holy Spirit's convicting you. That's you. That's you. And so he brings it together, the importance of us as a local church going forward together in unity. I mean, and if we have different goals all of a sudden, that's a problem. You can take any institution, and within that institution, if there's all kinds of contrary goals, that institution is going to struggle. But our goal as the church is the same when he was driving at. Just, it simply is Christ, to pursue that direction. So you find those godly examples who are striving to know God and fellowship with them. Those are the ones to give some of your time to, affection to. Because it will begin to shape you. It's going to help you or hurt you. T. teens, you find those who truly want to serve God. Look for those who have the heart. Find godly examples. As he goes on to say here, beware of those. Look how he puts this in verse 18. Strong language. For many walk. Remember, this is to a local church. Of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. And whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. He gives out a description here of enemies of the cross that he knew would come into the church. Knowing that historically from the epistles of Paul and what he lived, I don't know all that he had in mind. And I believe the Holy Spirit gives it to it as is, more of a description of each item. But I think in Paul, of course, he knew the Judaizers that had come in and had wreaked such damage in the churches because they attacked the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and corrupted it. But the idea here is this, though, is to avoid those who he describes as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Those who are about self, about fulfilling their own desires, their own flesh, who even take glory in things that they should be shameful of. I mean, we see that today, even within church. I mean, even those claiming salvation can glory in. I mean, it's just incredible today. And then lastly, let me finish up verse 20 and 21. So we find the examples that we're going to need help along the way, keeping the goal in mind. Forgetting those things which are mine, following the opportunities that God puts before us. Then once we have those, going after as that runner in a race with desire and with passion to finish until the end. Looking for the examples that God will put before us to help us along the way, to encourage us. And then he says this, a great reminder. For our conversation is in heaven. From which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He reminds us of our future, of what is coming. You know, we do get weary battling our flesh and all that's there, and God gives us a great description here of how we are now, and that is vile. How horrible our own flesh is. And how at times we get frustrated. That's what he's saying, forgetting those things which are behind. He's just tying it together. He said, listen, one day the battle is over. If you're saved, you have been redeemed. If that is actually taking place in your life, he said, remember, your conversation is in heaven. Which, by the way, is so important because our culture today of this church should reflect that of heaven. Not of this world. It absolutely should not. Our conversation is in heaven. I mean, one day all these battles are over with. It's not about us following the culture now. It's about us trying to win our culture, being a light to this culture, to help our culture change and see what life is about, to see the necessity of salvation and what God has done, to see their lives changed. And you can think of that. Think of even Pastor Roach's testimony when he got saved. For those of you that have been in this church for a long time, you've heard his testimony many times, but it's a good one. He got a knock on his door one day. It was Pastor Ward, the pastor of the Baptist church in town. He had his long hair, cigarette, beer in his hand, all that stuff. He just got back from Vietnam a year or two earlier. I can't quite remember that time frame, but it wasn't too long from then. And invited him to the revival. He said when he walked into that church, now listen, the opposite of what so many churches are doing today. He said when I walked in, I felt so, anybody remember the word he would use? What's that? Yeah, out of place, uncomfortable. That's exactly right. He said, here I was, I got my lawn here, all these men are in suits and ties. Do you know what he needed to feel in that moment? Uncomfortable. He did. He realized there's something different here. And so think about this. This is a man, just got back from Vietnam, a Marine. Walks into this church, sees all these men looking like men, dressed. And he realized this is different. Do you know what that would lead to that evening? His salvation. The world needs to see a difference, not the same thing. So he reminds us of what is coming our day. One day this vile body of ours will be changed. The problems and struggles we have with sin, the constant pulling back and forth of the old and the new, like Romans 7 describes, the battle that we all face, the good that I would, I do not, yet the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, vile man, that oh, wretched man, that am, excuse me, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? One day it will be over, and think of what he's going to do for us. This will all be done. I'll see him. He will change it. This body of corruption will be done. I will never, ever, ever struggle with sin again, and I'll have a body like unto the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible. It's not a fairy tale. That's true. This is what's going to take place. So he reminds him, stay focused on your future. And for Paul, by the way, lived that. I mean, you get into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he's going through all the trials and struggles. I mean, from a carnal perspective of Paul's life, the guy lived a horrible life. I mean, stonings and beatings and thrown out and mockings and lied about and all kinds of stuff taking place. And you know what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 after all that? I mean, shipwrecked, all that. He lists it all. He says, you know what? I focus on the eternal, not the temporal. I'm focusing on what is to come, not on everything going on all around me right now. That's what he's driving at here. Listen, all of us, teeing on up, you want to finish strong? You forget those things which are behind. Don't let those things hold you back. Don't come up with all the excuses why it can't happen right now. You don't know my environment. Listen, God is bigger than your environment. You look for the opportunities that God has put before you. That's so important. You understand that as we get involved in, I don't care how small it is, whether that's tracks, whatever it is you determine you're going to do, there's a measure of protection that comes with it. And then when you see that what God has given for you, do it with all your heart. Man, if you're in that choir, sing out. Understand it's for the Lord. Now, if you can't sing, then sing quietly. It'll be all right. Brother King's in there. Just sing quietly, brother. I appreciate you. And that's a good minute. No, I'm just kidding. What the Lord is giving you to do, do it with your heart. By the way, counting it an honor to serve the Lord. And then you follow those examples because we need each other to stay on course with the right unity. You follow the examples. Paul listed him. He said, don't follow those who are after their own belly, who can glory. And what are you doing? Follow those who are of the exact same pursuit like you're seeing in Paul's life. Those whose goal is Christ and you know it. That's who you need to follow. Focusing on what is to come. Listen, that's the plan on how to stay with it. It's what you do. With heads bowed and eyes closed.